It's not needed to introduce Brother Scott, because I hope he feels at home with us here, but Brother Scott Schaefer will preach this afternoon, and we look forward to that, and Brother Eric is going to finish up. So that was a good message this morning, wasn't it? Wow. Just playing over and over in my mind, and to think about what lies we tell ourselves and how we see God, and His Word is just so good. So true, what He has in store for us. And I know in the power of the Spirit, Brother Scott can preach to us this afternoon. So be prayerful.
Greetings. Sounds like I missed something this morning. I will listen in on that. Maybe on the drive home this afternoon, but appreciate your prayers as we open God's Word. We're always thankful for opportunities to do that. Certainly, individually, He wants us to do that, but there's a reason that He has us corporately to join together, to worship Him, to read Scripture together, to sing together, to fellowship together, to eat together. All those things are important for us to build our relationships with each other. Because God designed it that way. He didn't design us to be independent. He designed us to be dependent. Not only dependent upon Him, but dependent upon each other. Because we need each other. So I trust that He'll provide for us as we read some Scripture together. Well, the Scripture's open here at the end of Nehemiah and the beginning of the book of Esther. Let's read maybe just a few verses here in the last chapter of Nehemiah. Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah chapter 13, let's begin at verse 1. On that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them, howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. And before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, the new wine, and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites and the singers and the porters in the offerings of the priests. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king. And I came to Jerusalem, and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah, in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers. And thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God, with the meat offering and the frankincense. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and of the new wine and the oil under the treasuries. And I made treasuries over the treasuries, Shelemiah the priest, and Zadok the scribe, and of the Levites, Padiah, and next to them was Hanan, the son of Zakur, the son of Mattaniah, for they were counted faithful, and their office was to distribute unto the brethren. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God, for the offices thereof. Let's stop there at verse 14. The hymn book's open here to hymn 68. So let's sing together, Walking with God. God is ever present. That's a good thing that we need to remember. And not just remember, but be thankful for and even confident in that God is present. He is ever present wherever we're at. In fact, in some scriptures it tells us that we can't get away from Him. We can't hide from Him. So wherever we are, He's there. And even when we try to get away from Him, and I hate to say that, but sometimes we pull away from God, but He's still there. And we need to be thankful for that. So let's sing this together, Walking with God. Join together and pray. Our Father in heaven, we fall before Thee in prayer. And even as we have just sung the hymn there where the angels were crying out, Holy, holy, holy. What a way to describe Thee, our God. Total and absolute holiness. And Father, we thank Thee for thy love for us, because out of that comes this desire for a relationship with each one of us individually, that we would turn our hearts, our lives, our thoughts, emotions, everything that we have, that we would turn it over to thee, that we would completely surrender and submit ourselves to thee. And while we say that, yet we know how difficult that is. It's just really hard for us to let go. To let go of these things that are around us, even those that would be thy creation that we have enjoyed and that you've given to us. But yet we're told we need to let that go. That we need to worship the Creator. So, Father, help us to do that. Help us to look into our own lives and see those areas, those places where we haven't surrendered. And help us to raise a white flag and let it go. Because the Scripture tells us that the battle is yours. So, Father, we want to just give it to thee. We thank you so much for how you've displayed your love to each one of us. And each one here could tell the story, could tell their story of this forgiveness and this calling and this need that we have to turn our lives to thee. And so, Father, we pray that as we are out and about in the world, that our light would shine, that we would display to others of this love, that we would show to them that we serve a loving, almighty, but yet so holy God. So, Father, help us in our day-to-day walk. Help us to be consistent. Help us to be authentic in our conversation, in our behavior, in our attitudes, in any way that we would create a perception around us that it would be solid and it would be based on the Scripture and be based on the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank thee so much for Jesus, for what he did for us, for this unbelievable plan of rescue and salvation that was not only put together but then executed so perfectly. And now we are beneficiaries of that. Some 2,000 some years later, we still have the same access and yet the same need and the same desires. So that doesn't change. The human condition doesn't change. So, Father, open our hearts to thee. Open our hearts to thy word. Open our hearts and our beings to thy Spirit. That we know that the Spirit is there to fill us up. And so we pray that we would be open to that and attuned to that and listening for even that still small voice that would guide us and shape us and correct us and encourage us that we need desperately each and every day. Father, there's needs here at this church. Don't know what they are, but we know that you know all things. So whatever they are here, Father, we pray that thou would intervene and just take care of and encourage and help where there is perhaps weakness or sickness or health issues or emotional struggles, whatever they may be, and they're everywhere. But Father, we just ask that thy will would be done. And Father, if we could be used in some way in your kingdom, show us what that is. You've given each one of us talents and skills and abilities. Father, help us to be willing to use them, that we would understand that we can be of a help to each other. So, Father, encourage us and bless us in this day, in the week to come. We pray that we could open up yet a New Testament scripture, read from it, teach us from that, Father, and just expose in each one of our lives, Father, our deep need for Thee. So we thank Thee. We ask that Thou would forgive us where we sin, where we fail Thee, where we fall short, where we don't live up to Thy expectations. But Father, we know that we can come to Thee, that every day we can repent, every day we can be sorry, and every day we can ask for forgiveness, and every day we can strive to do better. So be with us and bless us. Open our hearts and our minds to Thy word and Thy principles in this day. We thank Thee and we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Johnny.
Scripture's open here in St. Mark. I don't know if you had that recently, but we will probably be reading this soon. But this is the leading up to the crucifixion, the trial and crucifixion of Jesus. So Mark 14, let's read at least a portion of that and see what the Lord might have. Let's begin at verse 26. St. Mark 14, verse 26. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, All things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough, the hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. Let's stop there at verse 42. So when you read words like this, and a couple of those verses that I read, for me, I struggled even reading them. Because I wonder where I'm at sometimes. And maybe if we're really honest with ourselves, and maybe you don't struggle with that, but I think of that. Jesus said there in verse 27, he says, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. Do we ever find ourselves in that position? Would we be personally offended by being associated with Christ? Ever? All ye, he says. And he's talking to his disciples. But I believe we can take the scripture literally that he's speaking to all of us. How solid are we really in our walk? How solid are we in our belief in him? Is he that important to us? Is our faith strong enough that we would never find ourselves being offended? To be associated with Christ. I hope not. But Satan's pretty strong. And Satan has the ability to worm his way in and create situations for us where we might be tempted to compromise. Are we ever tempted to compromise? And maybe that's not the exact word here. But when I think of that a little bit, of being offended, I think, would we ever compromise our faith? Are we ever put in a position where we have to choose? And then do we choose appropriately? Do we choose right? And the disciples may or may not have, and we'll see here, that they thought themselves pretty strong. And Peter himself felt that he was pretty strong, pretty solid in his faith and in his belief in Christ. That he wouldn't ever compromise. Yet, what does he say? He says, it is written, and Jesus was always good at this, at quoting other scripture. He'd pull it from the prophets. He'd pull it from the Old Testament. He would grab a hold of these scriptures and he just throw them back out at them. And he says, here's what the Bible says. I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. So he's speaking to those who are following him and close to him. And I can imagine him speaking to the church the same way. The church wasn't really wasn't put together yet. That didn't happen yet. He was just formulating some men that would go out then and do that. But here he is. He's telling them the shepherd's going to get smitten. He's going to be killed, and you all are going to scatter. And so I wonder how strong we are in all the different situations that we can be put in, or maybe have been put in, or will be put in. And I think we here in America, we have it really pretty easy. Maybe way too easy in this sense. Because we're not really persecuted. We don't really have to make those life or death situations. But yet there are some that have. And you remember some of the stories of the shooting in Colorado and some of the different where they're in there and they just go right down the line. Do you believe in Jesus? And there's a gun pointed right at them. Do you believe in Christ? And what's the answer then? What's your answer? What's my answer? With death at the doorstep, what's our answer? Or let me ask you this, would we hesitate? Would we think about it for just a second? Or do we just say, yes, Jesus is my Lord, and take the bullet? There were some young teenage girls that did that. They took the bullet. But they also didn't deny their faith. So I don't know. I don't know where I'm at with that. I don't know how strong I really would be. Peter thought he was pretty strong. And he was. He was a strong outdoors fisherman. Did a lot of things for himself. And sometimes we can rely on our own strength too much. It's a real temptation to do that. And Peter said in verse 29, although all shall be offended, I won't. I won't. And that's a great statement to make. And we should make that statement. But can we back it up? Do we have the strength within us to do that? No, we don't. But with the Spirit, we can. With the strength of Christ, we can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not because of my emotional state or because of my strength or what I think is my real devotion to Christ. No, not that. I have to rely on Him for strength. And so Peter says, almost to those other disciples with him, they all will likely be offended, but not me. And don't we have a tendency to do that? We can compare ourselves with others. That's not good, the Scripture tells us. And so Jesus comes right back at him. And because he knows all things, and because he loved Peter so much, he loves all of us, but he really loved Peter. He really wanted Peter to learn. He knew what Peter's role was going to be. And Peter was going to fulfill the role. Jesus knew that, but there were some things that Peter had to learn. Peter had to relinquish. Peter had to raise a white flag. He didn't want to surrender. And we don't like to surrender. We don't like to let go. We don't like to say, I give up. I lose. Jesus, you win. You take me. You take this weak mess and make something out of it. I'm willing to do whatever you want, but we have to let go. We have to relinquish what we have or what we think we have. What Peter thought he had. Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. No, Peter, here's how strong you are. I'm going to just tell you how strong you are. You say, I won't be offended. All these other folks will, but I'm not going to be. And Jesus says, no, Peter, let me tell you. Here's who you really are. And Jesus wants us to know who we really are. You and me. He wants me to know who I really am. You know, I go back to that hymn we sang. Holy, holy, holy. The God we serve is so ultimately and extremely holy that even Peter in his presence, it couldn't deal with it. And the Pharisees, they couldn't deal with his holiness. Read all through the New Testament and how they were repelled against because they couldn't deal with the holiness of Christ. This day, Peter, in fact, even this night, he says. So, not very long. A couple of hours. Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. That's how strong you are. That's, Peter, who you really are. You're a big, tough fisherman, but when it gets right down to it, this is who you are. You're going to deny me three times. Because your faith is not strong enough. And you know the disciples at one point, it's really the only thing that they really asked for. Well, a couple things. They said, teach us to pray. And they said, increase our faith. And they really didn't ask for much else. But those are two things that we could really learn from Jesus that they needed to learn. Increase our faith. We should ask for that every day. Lord, increase my faith. I want to be more faithful. I want to have more faith in you. Because I never want to compromise. Never. You're going to deny me three times in just a few short hours. So what if Jesus told you that? Or told me that? And that's where I kind of choke when I read this. Because Jesus knows me. He knows you. He knew Peter. But he knows us, and he knows us so well. And he knows when we're going to struggle. And he knows what's coming our way. And he knows there's such a temptation, there's such a weakness in us to want to compromise. And Jesus never compromised. God doesn't compromise. And so, how did Peter respond? Look at verse 31. How would you respond? After Jesus would tell you that, say, no, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter says, oh no. In fact, if I should die with thee, I won't deny you. So even if my life is on the line, if death is at the doorstep, even if that's the case, Jesus, by the way, that's what happened. Peter didn't know that. But that's what was waiting for him. And Jesus knew that. And Peter even speaks it. He speaks what's going to happen to him in the future. Even though I should die with you, I'm not going to deny you. But what happened? It influenced those around him. Likewise, also said they all. Yeah, what he said. That's what we're going to do. We're as strong as Peter. He's our leader. We're going to do that. And if he can do it, we can do it. But none of them could do it because they were the sheep that Jesus talked about earlier, and the sheep scattered. The sheep weren't strong enough, but God calls us to be strong enough. He wants us to just let go of that, and that's all Jesus wanted Peter to do, was just let go. And if Peter would have said, you know what, Lord, I can't do this. I don't think I can do this. You help me. You make it happen. That's the response that we would say Peter should have done. But what's our response? Certainly us, maybe on the male side here, we get our dander up pretty quick, don't we, when somebody thinks we can't do it, or you're not tough enough, or you're not strong enough, and we kind of just hulk up a little and we're say, oh yeah, I can do this. That's not the world that Christ is talking about here. So then he takes him to Gethsemane. And he says, you sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John. They went on a little further. We can read that in one of the other Gospels here. But they went on a little further. And Jesus said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and he fell on the ground, and he prayed that, if it were possible, that the hour might pass from him. So Mark is telling us, here's what Jesus prayed, and then he gives us Jesus' words. He says, Abba, Father, Daddy, all things are possible. So take away this cup. Take it away. That's what he was praying. That's what Jesus was praying to his Father. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. So what do we have an example of there? Jesus raised the white flag, didn't he? He surrendered. He surrendered it all. We have a perfect example of what Christ wants us to do, but not through our own strength, through His strength, through His Spirit. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt. That is a prayer I think that we should pray every day as Jesus is sharing this with us. But can we, or do we, surrender our will, not my will, not what I want, not what I think should happen. God, you, Jesus, you tell me whatever you want me to do today, whatever direction you want me to go, whoever you want me to interact with, it's yours. Or do we have it already all laid out what we got in mind? We got the plan. I'm not saying we shouldn't plan ahead. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that there's got to be this balance out there of being able to just let go, because we can get so hooked on our own plan, our own desires, our own thoughts on how this is going to all play out, that we can miss what God wants. Even if what's ahead is not a good thing. And what was ahead of Christ was not a pretty sight at all. And he knew that. He knew what was coming. The disciples didn't. God knew what was coming. So the only two people who knew what was coming were conversing together, the Son and the Father. And they both knew what was ahead. And so what an intimate moment we get here as the curtain parts and we see a son and the father, and the son says, Daddy, I want to do this. Take it away. Take this away. You know what's coming and I know what's coming. Take it away. But he said, and how thankful we can be, that he said, not your will, but not my will, but yours. So what's a lesson for us? What's a lesson for us in the garden? Certainly to pray and to plead with God. but to let go, to surrender, to submit to God's way. You don't know what's coming ahead. We might think we do. We might have a plan. Our calendars are laid out. But what does God want? At the beginning of each month, do we say, okay, God's will. God's will for this month. And we plop some dates in. But let's go back and remember, what does God want? It may not be exactly what you thought. It may not be at all what you thought. It may be totally different. He may present something to you, an opportunity, a challenge, a difficulty that you're not ready for, that you didn't plan for. But you can go to your knees. You can fall on your knees. And Jesus, in fact, and I don't know which gospel it is, but it tells us that he prayed so hard that he sweat drops of blood. That is an intense prayer. That is an unbelievably intense time with the Father. But he just let it all go. Christ totally submitted to the Father's plan. Totally surrendered. And letting go, for us to let go individually of our own selves. And I believe that part of the whole salvation process is to rescue us from us. To rescue me from me. From my sin, certainly, but to rescue me from me. And to rescue you from you. That's what he wants. Call to the Father. Fall on your knees. He's so holy. But he says, I'll take it. But he wants us to give it up. So just raise the white flag.
We've just had a tremendous day in the Word, learning from the Lord what it is that he has for us. Whenever I think of this story, it reminds me of something that happened in my life. I was a brand new Christian. I started a new job. I went to a business meeting, and there were three gentlemen that came in, and they were talking about a Christian guy and how silly and stupid he was. And I was sitting there, and I was just kind of trembling, like, I'm one of those guys too. And I was sitting there, and they came in, and I could have been sweating. I don't know. I just wasn't ready. And the guy across the table from me stood up and said, oh, I'm a Christian. You know, you guys are crazy. But anyway, he defended, and he stood for the Lord right then and there. And when you just shine a light on something, the darkness disappears. And I thought they would just take his head off or something, right? Because there was, three strong businessmen, and I learned that day, and I kind of purposed in my heart, in any business situation that I'm in, I will always speak up for Christ, anytime, any place, anywhere. And that has served me well in my whole life. And I look at this story, and it's just exactly the same way. Because I was humiliated that first day because I wasn't ready. And I think about Peter, and he was humiliated, but never again. Never again in the rest of his life did he not stand for Christ. Did he not do what was necessary? Did he not be willing to be humiliated for Christ? And I'm also extremely comforted when I think about Jesus' prayer here, because it sounds a lot like my prayers. You know, we tend to think like, oh, I want an answer, Lord. I want an answer for my prayer. And I know lots of people come and they'll tell you, I didn't get an answer for God's prayer or from my prayer to God. And a lot of times we know the answer even before we pray it. A lot of times we know and we can see what the Lord is doing around us. And the Lord is telling us, he's saying, I am who I am. Step back and understand and respect the joy and of knowing the Lord and the glory of who He is. Because I will take care of you. I will be there for you. I will buoy you up in the storm. And that's what the Lord's done for me in my life. I've seen it around us. I've seen it in the Christians that are around us. And that's what He does. He does these great things. And I love this morning, Clint. It was just fantastic. God is good. God is good. The things that He's doing is good. And we cannot believe the lie that's been put out around us. And when we seek Him and we know that He is good and we test Him to know that He's good in our lives and we remember what it is that He's done for us, the world is a wonderful, wonderful place. It's a place of hope. It's a place of beauty. It's a place of redemption. It's a place of taking wrongs and making them right. And it's a wonderful thing. I just think about what we've heard today, and I'm very hopeful we can take what we've heard and put it into action in this week, that we can change. Maybe there's one thing in your life this week that you can change, that's sitting in your life that needs changing. Maybe it's a small thing, maybe it's a big thing, but maybe there's one thing we can change, and let's just ask the Lord, let's invite Him in, let's sing 385, Pass Me Not, and invite the Lord to be with us this week and to guide and lead us.
Yeah.